Hello, good morning. Welcome back to the One Day at a Time podcast, where we focus on today and we do our best. Remember the phrase Festina Lente, which is a phrase used by Emperor Augustus of the Roman Empire. You know, he wanted to build so much in a short period of time, but all he reminded himself of this saying, Festina Lente, make haste slowly. So each day we're going to go at it, we're going to try our best, but we're going to look at it over the long term and not expect everything to change overnight. Okay, that's what we got to do here. So today's topic is what happens during a 7-day water fast, which means you're only drinking water for 7 days, no food. Okay, so there's a lot of reasons people fast. Some do it for health, they think for weight control, they think so, right? Some people do it religiously, some people do it as a political statement, you know, some people do it as a last resort or whatever. And obviously for much of human history, we may have gone into these kind of fasts, but not by choice. Like, you know what I mean? It was famine, it was drought, it was illness, it was war, there was no food. Like, we didn't really go here and, yeah, I'll do this, it sounds great. But because obviously starvation was so common, there's a lot of survival kind of, the humans that did survive possessed advantageous genetic traits that have obviously passed on down to us. Okay, so what are those traits really? And they are like adaptations to when energy is low. Okay, and we can find this out. So, and actually there was a research study that did go and find this out. So it's a new research study by researchers affiliated with universities in Germany, Denmark, Norway and UK. It's a small study though. It's 12 healthy volunteers, 7 males, 5 females. Average age is 28, BMI 25.4, average body fat percentage 25%, and they're white European ancestry, okay? They were taking daily bloods, looking at 3,000 individual proteins, and looking how they changed to calorie restriction, and looking at what happens, right? So the researchers took another blood sample on day 10 as well, so 3 days after refeeding. So what did the study find? Okay, so let's have a look here. So after 48 to 72 hours, ketogenesis increased throughout the fast. So going into ketosis obviously is going to happen here, which is basically the body shifting from using glucose primarily to using fat for energy. Okay, and participants found this transition really challenging. And if you've done keto before, you'll know what you're talking about here. So it's very hard. You feel, you just want to eat carbs, you know, you just want to get some energy and people get some brain fog and stuff like that. But yeah, so during this period, hunger signaling is amplified, obviously, and downregulation of reproductive function happens as well. So, you know, the reason behind this is why get pregnant or need to get, you know, create kids. If this is the environment you're in, it's not great. And there was an increase in protein breakdown. Okay, so they're looking at the bloods and they saw this, that the proteins, the third of the proteins being tracked, changed in response to the fast. And this was coming in day 2 and 3 as well. So the body in day 2 and 3 kind of resulted in it protecting or sparing protein. It doesn't want to lose muscle mass at this stage, okay? It's one of the last things it wants to lose. But it has no choice over time to use protein for energy, okay? And this is not what we want to happen. So after 7 days, participants lost on average of 12.5 pounds, which is 5.7 kilograms. But here's the thing. Almost two-thirds of that was lean mass. Okay? But the proteins protected in the brain neurons and synapses, they were preserved, which is important. Okay, so the body's an amazing thing, right? Subcutaneous fat declined, but there wasn't much of a visceral abdominal tissue fat going down. Hardly any lost there, but subcutaneous fat did go down. Okay, so what you're basically seeing here is it's an extreme 7 days water fast. You see it promoted on social media. Yes, there's a lot of weight lost, but at the expense of two-thirds of it being lean mass, which we really, really don't want to lose, you know. And after 3 days of refeeding, all right, 80% of the lean mass returned. So, yes, that's great that there's a bounce back, that 70, after 3 days of refeeding, there is 80% return of lean mass. But like I mentioned in the Minnesota starvation experiment, the body's hunger levels are going to remain elevated until all the lean muscle mass is returned to baseline. So when you're doing these extreme things or you get tempted by 7-day water fast, oh my God, I can lose 12 pounds and this and that, you are making life a lot harder for yourself in the long run, because you're going to lose lean muscle, you're going to increase your hunger signals after it, you're going to build a terrible relationship with weight loss because you think you have to do extreme things, okay? And really, you're not losing much fat really anyway. In the study, there was no adverse events reported because it was just 7 days, but it doesn't mean that it's something we should do day to day. You know, this is a study, like if you got work, you got looking after kids and stuff, going on in a 7-day water fast, you know, is not going to be sensible, basically. This is different to intermittent fasting, which I've had questions about as well. Intermittent fasting is like a 16-hour window where you don't eat, then an 8-hour window where you do. And a lot of people eat like this naturally. So they'll wake up and they might have food at 7 a.m. or they might finish their meals, you know, early afternoon. So intermittent fasting is more like a lifestyle thing. If you prefer to have a timed window, that's fine, but there's no magic to it. It's just, if it helps you reduce your calorie intake, then great, utilize it. But fasting is getting like hyped up again right now, and I think a lot of people, basically, we hope something like this works. This is the problem with hope. We get told it, this new thing, this new, and you know, Dana White, the UFC president, was saying he does a water fast, and there's all these Gary, I think his name's Gary Becker, who's like this guy who just talks absolute nonsense, and you get hooked into these things because they sound amazing. It's like, oh, I can detox for 7 days and stuff like that. You don't need to micromanage your body to that level. Your body is an amazing machine, okay? I've had blood work done every year, like my annual tests. I don't try and optimize my vitamins and minerals. I do eat a lot of fruit. I eat lean meats, you know, I eat veggies. You know, I do eat a combination of ultra-processed foods and non-processed foods. And to me, it's quite amazing that my vitamin and mineral numbers were all in the green, and vitamin D was slightly on borderline, and maybe it's because time of year I was doing it, but it was like, wow, my body's like a really good machine, and if I'm covering the big boulders, which is I have a higher protein diet, I'm not over consuming all my calories, I'm not gaining fat, and I'm eating around the right foods, and I understand the foods I need to eat. I do need to eat my fruit and veggies, obviously. You know, do we need to go beyond this and think, well, maybe this is 7-day water fast is going to fix stuff for me? No, it's not. It's not going to do that at all. So there's no unique health benefits to it. And for weight loss, calorie restriction is the key thing. So you can achieve this without fasting. That's the important thing, right? There was one person in the study that lost 20 pounds. But the people that lost the most weight also gained that weight back quickest as well. So you can see it as, okay, cool, you know, Kelly lost 20 pounds and I lost 12 in the 7-day water fast, but then she also regained most of it and I regained like a larger percentage of it. So you get hyper responders and stuff like that, but overall it's like it works both ways, right? Everybody lost a bit of fat, but when they did go to the 3-day refeed, gaining fat, nobody gained more fat than they started off with after this 10-day experiment, right? So I've mentioned this before, when some of you go over your calorie targets, you worry that you gain fat, okay? So the good news is, when it comes to fat loss, is that if our protein is high, and if we are doing some resistance training twice a week, we're in a deficit that's moderate, which all of you are on, none of you are being pushed into a severe deficit, because we know in the research, a high risk of lean muscle tissue going, like the Minnesota starvation experiment shows. You want to be in a moderate deficit, high protein, having some resistance training, the chance of you actually losing muscle mass there is reduced a lot. Okay, so when it comes to what you're losing when you're in a deficit, a lot of that's going to come from your fat stores and obviously some water as well, but a high percentage of it is fat. So some people say, well, you don't need to worry about protein when it's just a deficit. And I say, you lose like maybe a similar amount of weight, but the percentage of the weight you lose will be, there'll be a higher percentage of that coming from your muscle if your protein's not in, and potentially you're not stimulating the muscles with some exercise. I say, well, it doesn't matter. Of course it matters, because maintaining muscle mass is one of the most important things you're going to do on your weight loss journey and for general health in the long term. Okay, so that's good news, that the majority of it is fat. It's not an exact science in terms of 3,500 calories of fat. 1 pound of fat contains 3,500 calories. Going into a 3,500 calorie deficit, yes, you're going to lose, you know, who knows what the number is. It could be like 87.5% of the deficit is fat mass. some of it might be tissue, but most of it's fat. But when it goes the other way, and this is the good news, and it shows in this study as well, when you go into a refeed and you go beyond maintenance for a bit, it's actually not the same ratio. So if I were to consume 3,500 calories over my maintenance, that doesn't mean that all of that excess calories get stored as fat, because a lot of it goes into building lean muscle tissue and other processes. Your metabolic rate goes up because, you know, there's more energy used to digest the food. You might actually fidget and move more, get your steps higher without even noticing. You might have more energy in general. So that percentage, so it works in your favor. So you might, and I've read a few studies, and I need to confirm this when I speak to Dr. Paul next as well, what he'd seen in the research, but it's more like 6,000 calories over your maintenance to gain a pound of fat, roughly, or at least that. So that works for us, which means do not panic if you go over your target. Remember, your target is there, and if you go 300 to 500 calories over, you're probably around maintenance. If you go 1,000 calories over, you've gone like 500 calories of maintenance, you're still not going to gain fat there. You might gain water retention and you get more muscle glycogen and that pulls more water in, but it's not fat. Even if you had 1,500 calories over, 2,000 calories over, it's still unlikely that you're going to gain fat there. When you gain fat, it is a accumulation over time. So it's like, you know, you have 3 big days over Easter, for example. Yes, you're going to go on the scales after on the 4th day and your weight will shoot up. Your water weight's gone up, muscle glycogen goes up. It's not fat gain. And I can prove this with my own graphs. I did 2 heavy weekends and my weight shot up 3 or 4 kilograms. And within a few days of reducing my calorie intake and getting a workout in, it's dropped back down to baseline. I didn't gain fat in that period, neither did I lose fat. Okay, so same for you. So that's why you shouldn't panic about these things. And this, again, this research backs it. It's important not to catastrophize your weight going up and down each day. You are doing it as a scientist. It's a 14-day experiment most of you start off with, or a 7-day experiment you start off with, where you take a step back from the data and go, let me just collect data. Even better, let me just collect data for 30 days. If I can weigh myself every day, great. If it's 2 or 3 times a week, great. If it's once a week, you know, that's fine, but it's better to do daily. And when you look at the data after a month in the graphs, you're like, oh my God, it really does go up and down each day. And especially if you're female and you've got the menstrual cycle, you'll start noticing patterns with your cycle. And that's very different between all of you. Some of you have different reactions to different parts of your cycle with different levels of estrogen and progesterone. So you start noticing patterns, but you start noticing a downward trend in total weight. And it might take 3-4 weeks for you. Some of you are luckier where it's 1 week. For men, for example, you got to remember that a lot of the advice in the fitness industry and stuff is based off male research and how men bodies react. Yes, I can look at my average weight week to week and I can see a trend if I'm losing fat quicker than a female most of the time, because men are the same every day. We wake up, our testosterone levels are pretty much the same. They dip over time slowly. We feel the same. There's no like huge change in our internal hormonal balances and stuff like that. But as a woman, there's a lot more things going on. So it might take you a full menstrual cycle to see the trend. It might take 2 menstrual cycles to see the trend, which, you know, it's frustrating. It takes longer, but it means chill out a bit. Do the view from above like the Stoics did, you know, the ancient Greeks as well. You know, take a view from above, zoom out a bit. You know, can I zoom out and not make rash decisions after 3 days or 1 week? Can I understand that I need more time to see the patterns? And if I am sticking to my calorie target and I hit my steps target and my protein target, you go, hey, my body's just doing what my body does. Hey, weight is up and down right now. But I am focused on what I can control. And what you can control is trying your best to hit your calories and protein and steps, and results will happen over time, I promise you. But I can't promise you when you'll see the results in the data form, but it will be there. And you've got to look at other measures as well, guys. You can't just say, this all comes down to my weight. You know, you're looking at your relationship with food, for example, which you cannot understand your relationship with food if you're trying to judge your relationship with food. It must come from a place of non-judgment. It's an observational thing. You look at your relationship with food day to day and journal it. And then you start seeing, you know, I did a poll in the group. Pretty much everybody struggles with emotional eating. That's your relationship with food. You're using food to cope with certain emotional turbulences. And you realize quickly, when you do look into this without judging yourself, well, did that binging of chocolate actually help me afterwards, or did I feel worse? Most of the time you feel worse. Is food the answer to my emotional struggles? The answer is hardly yes. Sometimes it can help, if you need a break and it does make you feel a bit better to like calm the mind down, you know, you've got to look at it holistically in that sense. But it's all about the self-awareness, your relationship with food, understanding energy balance, not judging if you consume too much energy from time to time. It's very easy to do so in the modern world. You know, we are surrounded by high fat, high sugar, high salt foods, which taste amazing, you know, and we all love those foods. And when they're in our faces and it's easy to access, it's difficult. So yes, we consume too much energy sometimes, you know, yes, our relationship with food is being manipulated over decades of diet culture through magazines and influencers or celebrities, more than that, with the size zero trends and all this nonsense. And there's been a lot of companies that, whilst they started off with great intentions, and I don't want to bash any company, you know, they end up getting, you know, sold off, private equity, this and that, people come in, it's all about shareholder value, da la 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 la. And really then it's all about like, is the main mission still the core thing or not? And usually the answer is no. You know, so yeah, you got to look at it fully. So don't be worried if your weight's not coming down all the time. Let the app do the work. It will tweak it for you if results aren't coming. And if results are coming, happy days, you get the review. Look at other factors that really are making a difference in your life. Like you feel a bit better about yourself, you're getting steps in, your mindset's in a better place, you're talking to other people in the community, you're making connections, you're feeling heard, you're feeling, oh, okay, I don't have to do anything extreme anymore, I'm feeling at ease in my journey, I'm taking a bird's eye view, I'm having a long-term approach to it, which is different to all the short-term approaches, and I'm in a place where people actually care, which is important. So just a recap on that, hopefully you don't get caught into these fasting, water fasting stuff, because it's all over social media right now. But understand, you know, where they're coming from and understand why people do them, because the pull is big. Like, you lose this weight quick and it's going to solve your problems. No, it doesn't happen that way. So hopefully that covered the water fasting topic for you guys. If you have any questions about it, let me know. But hope you have a good day. Remember to get your one big thing done, your OBT. So if you're feeling behind, you haven't tracked in a while, you're feeling stressed, everything's crumbling around you, financial work, just do one thing today. Whether it's your step count, whether it's your protein target, or whether it's your calorie target, just pick one and get that done. And you'll notice that the other ones will get done eventually that day. But just focus on one and done, and you know, get one big thing's done, and you start building momentum. So have a good day. Speak to you all soon.